Savagery. Book 7. The Book of Yoga. Canto 5. The Finding of the Soul. This is part 4. It's on pages 527 through 529. Savitri has entered the house of her soul in the subtle center of her being. She emerged from the last tunnel of the cave of her soul to find herself in front of a house all made of flame and light. She entered the house by crossing a wall of doorless living fire. And there, suddenly, she met her secret soul. So far we have seen that Sri Aurobindo teaches that our soul is a part of the immortal self which is put into the subtle center of our heart chakra to support us and everything we do. It is a part of our Jiva Atman, which is always above our head, as our personal portion of the supreme all-conscious self. Our Jiva Atman is unchanging, undying, and unborn. She puts a small portion of herself into our heart to be our soul. We've seen that our Jivatman and our soul are the same consciousness. The difference between them is that the soul is both active in our life and supporting it at the same time. It is changing and unchanging at the same time. But our Jivatman is unchanging always. Another difference is that our soul enters into our body and takes its place at some time after we are conceived. It can do this before our birth, at birth, or after our birth, depending on the development of each person, while our Jivatman does not go anywhere. When we die, our soul leaves our body and goes to the resting place of the soul between lives. This is in the world soul, at the center of creation. The parts of us which are not connected to our soul go to rest, and the soul does its work of preparing us for our next life. Our Jiva Atman is simply there, part of the highest level of the manifested consciousness that makes up the creation. Our Jiva Atman and our soul are one and the same consciousness, which comes to us through our soul. Sri Aurobindo calls this consciousness the Divine Mother. This is how it has been named in Indian spirituality and Indian culture since the ancient times. The Divine Mother is the consciousness force of the Supreme All. She is His power to make the whole manifested universe, and she is the whole manifested universe, from the most subtle to the most gross. She is all the changes and all the progress of ongoing evolution. This is what makes up our Jivatman and our individual immortal soul. This is what carries our individual evolution forward as part of the universal evolution. In this part of the Finding of the Soul that we read now, we will see that the result of finding the soul comes about due to the action of the Divine Mother. Now that Savitri has found her soul, the Divine Mother will awaken the Kundalini force that is sleeping in her subtle body. Here is where we get into the ancient yogic science of Kundalini force and the opening of the chakras along the subtle route that goes from the base of our spine up through the center of our spinal column to the crown of our head. The word chakra in Sanskrit means wheel, something that is spinning. This is how our subtle energy centers were seen by the ancient yogis. Sri Aurobindo wrote that the existence of the chakra system was revealed by tantric knowledge, and this knowledge was accepted in the systems of yoga. However, he teaches things about it that are not traditional knowledge. He says our chakras are conscious centers, and they are the sources of all the dynamic powers of our being. Our dynamic powers are our energies of action, the energies that move us to do everything we do. These actions are organized through the chakras. Our chakras are arranged in our body in an ascending series from the lowest physical level to the highest mind center and spiritual center, which is called the thousand-petaled lotus. This is where the Kundalini force rises to meet the Brahman and is liberated in the divine being. The tantrics call the Kundalini force the serpent power because it looks like a serpent all coiled up when it's not active. Sri Aurobindo calls it the ascending nature power when it is active and rising up through our subtle system. Our chakras are closed or half closed within us until we have done a lot of spiritual yoga practice. They have to be opened before their full potentiality can be manifested in our physical nature. We have seen the triple soul powers, three wonderful capacities that Savitri has. We have seen that they are not yet successful in their work because Savitri has not yet realized her soul. Once her chakras are open, they will be able to act at their full potential. Sri Aurobindo says that once our chakras are opened and completely active, no limit can be easily set to the development of their potencies and the possibility of total transformation. He says that our chakras will be an important part of it. He makes it clear that the awakening of a person's Kundalini force is something that happens as a necessary step in their evolution. In most people today, the chakras have very little activity. Sri Aurobindo says that it is because in most people, only their outer consciousness is active. They are focused outward, not inward. They are not working on themselves. When a person does some form of spiritual practice, which includes working on their mental and vital and physical, then they are participating in the process of their own evolution, and the process goes faster. The different chakra energies respond to all this work by opening when we become conscious in our inner being. Our chakras are our connections with the universal mental, vital, and physical planes, which correspond to the same planes within us. Unless we are spiritually developed, we cannot tolerate the full flow of the vast and powerful universal forces freely coming into open chakras. When they're closed, they protect us from receiving the universal forces that we're not ready to receive. Sri Aurobindo teaches that we should never try to force a chakra to open. This is a step beyond what is taught in traditional yoga practices. Traditional yoga teaches all kinds of methods directed physically at opening chakras, and people are encouraged to just open the chakra without reference to any other progress in their being. He says it is quite harmful when a chakra is opened and the rest of our being has not been sufficiently prepared. And history bears him out. There are many sad stories in different spiritual practices about what happened to people when their Kundalini force opened their chakras and they were not ready to receive the results of the opening. Another way in which Sri Aurobindo's guidance goes beyond the traditional is that he says that our chakras should open from the top down. The best thing for us is to have our chakras opening from above first, and then the opening should descend down from the highest down to the lowest. It should not proceed up from the lowest up to the highest. He explained why the chakras should open from above downwards. This way, the higher consciousness moves down and pervades our lower centers and energy fields. The consciousness descends all the way down to the lowest chakra, and then it pervades our whole body. This automatically purifies our lower areas as the higher awakened forces move down from the top to the bottom. This avoids the difficulties which can come from opening the lower areas of our being first, because it is better for us to be purified by our higher centers opening before the lower ones open. We saw the different lower vital forces and lower vital planes that the king experienced when he was a traveler of the worlds. In Book 2, we saw the hatred and the anger and the cruelty and the primitive emotions that are there in the lower places. It certainly makes good sense to purify our lower chakras first by opening the higher ones, because our lower ones are open to lower universal vital planes. Much better to have them not receiving a lot of lower things. The popular teaching about awakening the chakras is that they open from the bottom up. Perhaps this comes from the fact that the Kundalini force is always said to be asleep in the root chakra at the base of the spine, and people have experienced it moving upwards when it awakens. But here, too, Sri Aurobindo brings more wisdom beyond popular tradition. He says that the awakened Kundalini force can both ascend up and descend down along the subtle pathway in the center of our spinal column. This pathway is called the Sushumna. It is right in the center of the spinal vertebrae, where there are holes for the nerves that move between our tailbone and our brain. Sri Aurobindo goes farther than this. He says that the Kundalini force is the yogic force, which is asleep in all our chakras, not only in the chakra at the base of the spine. We will see when he writes about it in Savitri, and he says that it is released from sleep, he does not say that it was sleeping in the root chakra. He says that it is sleeping in the inconscient. Sri Aurobindo also teaches that there is a divine energy in the subtle space over our head, over the thousand-petal lotus, which is the highest chakra in our body. He says the energy above our head is similar to the energy of the Kundalini force. Here we have a really beautiful letter, which he wrote to an ashramite in 1933, where he explains the whole thing very clearly. The ashramite asked, "What is the yoga shakti? What is the yogic mind force, yogic life force, and yogic body consciousness?" Sri Aurobindo wrote, "Things, but of forces. Not only of forces, but of the conscious being behind the forces. One is aware of all this, not only in oneself, but in the universe. There is a force which accompanies the growth of the new consciousness, and at once grows with it, and helps it to come about and to perfect itself. This force is the yoga shakti. It is here asleep and coiled up in all the centers of our inner being, chakras. And it is at the base, what is called in the tantras, the kundalini shakti. But it is also above us, above our head, as the divine force. Not there coiled up, involved, asleep, but awake, scient, potent, extended and wide. It is there waiting for manifestation, and to this force we have to open ourselves, to the power of the Mother. In the mind, it manifests itself as a divine mind force, or a universal mind force, and it can do everything that the personal mind cannot do. It is then the yogic mind force. when it manifests and works in the vital or physical in the same way, it is then apparent as a yogic life force or a yogic body force. It can awake in all these forms, bursting outwards and upwards, extending itself into wideness from below, or it can descend and become there a definite power for things. It can pour downwards into the body, working, establishing its reign, extending into wideness from above, link the lowest in us with the highest in us, release the individual into a cosmic universality or into absoluteness and transcendence. We can see that this is a much broader, more comprehensive view of the so-called Kundalini power. It is a very important concept in the practice of Sri Aurobindo's yoga, because he always emphasized that we have to open to the Divine Mother and to aspire for her consciousness to work in us and also to replace our consciousness. Here in Savitri, he says that the Divine Mother comes to take her place in Savitri's heart. And when she does this, then the Kundalini force becomes active. We know that generally the Divine Mother is the whole creation, including Prakriti, which is all of nature. But when Sri Aurobindo speaks about the Divine Mother's force being the Yoga Shakti, the force of yogic transformation that moves our Kundalini, he is speaking of a particular aspect of the Mother's consciousness. Here he writes it in a letter to an ashramite in 1933. He writes, "When I speak of the Mother's force, I do not speak of Prakriti, which carries on things in the ignorance, but of the higher force that descends from above to transform the nature." This is part of Mother's work in us. She spoke about something she did with her own chakra energies that looks like it could be a kind of preparation for doing this work in other people. There is an entry in Mother's agenda on July 11, 1970, where she says, "This rising of the Kundalini, I had it in." I was still in Paris. It was before I came to India. And Mother came to India first in 1914. She says, "I had read Vivekananda's books about it, and when the force rose, it emerged from the head through here," and Mother points to the top of her head. "The experience was never described that way. The force came out, and the consciousness settled here," and then Mother shows about 8 inches above the head. "So when I came here, I told Sri Aurobindo about it. He told me it had been the same thing with him, and that according to the teaching of ancient texts, you cannot live when that takes place. You die. So," and here Mother is laughing, "so he told me, here are two who haven't died." Mother spoke of there being centers below the root chakra at the base of the spine. She came to meet Sri Aurobindo in Pondicherry in April 1914 and then returned to France a year later in February 1915. And she said, "And then, when I went back from here, I did something deliberately. All the energies of the last center," and here she means the root chakra at the base of the spine, "all the energies of the last center were drawn up here," and Mother makes a gesture showing the heart. "But I felt centers below the feet. I felt a center below the feet. There was one at the knees, one here," and here Mother gestures at the root chakra at the base of the spine. And then Mother makes a gesture of drawing the energies upwards. And then all of it, like this, drawn up. And it came here. And Mother shows the heart. Then Mother asks Sat Prem, does Sri Aurobindo speak of the transformation of the subconscious and its becoming conscious? And Sat Prem answers, yes, Mother, he speaks of it. And Mother says, that's what took place when the energies were drawn here. It was the result. Sri Aurobindo teaches that the part of us that is the subconscious energy is below the root chakra. Here, Mother says that in her, the subconscious became conscious when she drew the energies of the centers below the root chakra up to her heart. That's a huge step in consciousness. And Mother makes no big advertisement. She just says this is what happened. And then she says, the consciousness has remained there. And Mother shows up above the head. It didn't come down again. It is there. It is always there. Here, slightly above the head. And then she makes the same gesture, showing 8 inches above the head, slightly above the head, like this. Whenever I try to know something, it's always the same. Everything stops, and I listen there. And then Mother gestures above the head. That's where I listen. Then she's quiet for some time, and then she says, and then when I went back in 1915, I did something deliberately. All the energies of the last center, Muladhara center, were drawn up here. And Mother makes a gesture to the heart. Mother also says that between 1914 and 1920, when she was in France and Japan, she was having experiences of the Kundalini force. Then Sat Prem asks Mother why she has not spoken of the chakras since she moved upstairs to her new room on the second floor in 1962 to work on the transformation. Sat Prem tells Mother that in Sri Aurobindo's collection of writings called The Supramental Manifestation on Earth, he gives the chakras a decisive importance in the body's transformation, and he refers to the chakras as a key element. Mother stays silent for a while, and then she says, what I am conscious of is the consciousness there, and she gestures above the head. That's something unchanging. This, and Mother makes a gesture towards her forehead, blank. Here, and Mother gestures to her heart, I told you, all energies from below the feet. And then Mother gestures as if pulling all upward. All that was brought up to here. Here, and Mother points to her heart, here, it's like a sun always. It's like a radiant sun. That's where I work. That's where I work from. But with the centers there, and Mother gestures towards the base of the spine, all the energies have been as if brought up to the heart. And Mother gestures to her heart and above her head, and she says, this and this, it's so natural that I don't even observe it anymore. It's my way of being. Mother always said that she keeps her consciousness in two places, in her heart and above her head. Sri Aurobindo teaches that the two places we should concentrate on are in our heart and above our head. When we concentrate in our heart, the Divine Mother helps us to realize our soul. When we concentrate above our head, she helps us to realize the higher consciousness in all the planes above us. From the heart, our soul enters all the rest of our being and takes over our other parts. And from over our head, the higher forces come down into us and do the work of healing and illuminating and transforming. Here in what Mother says to Satprem in the Agenda in July of 1970, we see that she is working from both these places in us, in the heart, and above the head. It's the same. She had prepared herself for this even before she returned to be with Sri Aurobindo in 1920 and to work with the Ashramites. We also see that both of them had exactly the same experience of the raising of the Kundalini force, the Yoga Shakti, all the way up and out to the top of the head, and that it remained there. This is exactly the description that Sri Aurobindo writes here in this section of Savitri. Sri Aurobindo told the early Ashramites to call on Mother to open their chakras. From what she said in the Agenda, it is clear she knew all about dealing with chakras. And we know that she was the Divine Mother. We know that she had the full consciousness of the Divine Mother here for her work, because this is why she came. She came to work for the supramental manifestation, the next step in man's evolution. When we look at what Sri Aurobindo has written about Savitri right after she sees her soul and they become one, we see that with his great poetic genius, he takes us right back into the outside world in one sentence. He writes, "Once more, she was human, upon earthly soil, in the muttering night, amid the rain-swept woods and the rude cottage where she sat in trance." If we go back to the beginning of Savitri's in her search for her soul, we find the same feeling. Sri Aurobindo writes, "Then Savitri by her doomed husband sat, still rigid in her golden motionless pose, a statue of the fire of the inner sun. In the black night, the wrath of the storm swept by. The thunder crashed above her. The rain hissed. Its million footsteps pattered on the roof. Impassive mid the movement and the cry, witness of the thoughts of mind, the moods of life, she looked into herself and sought for her soul. Now she returns. But now that she has found her soul, her abilities and capacities have made spiritual progress." Sri Aurobindo writes that Savitri has found her soul and her consciousness has come back to perceive that she is still sitting beside sleeping Satchavan and that the subtle world withdrew deeply within, behind the sun veil of the inner sight. But she still sits in trance, and she sees what is happening inside her own heart chakra. Sri Aurobindo writes, "But now the half-opened lotus bud of her heart had bloomed and stood disclosed to the earthly ray." The earthly ray is the ray of Savitri's vision now that she is back outside on earth. Now it includes this inner sight. She can now see her soul. Sri Aurobindo writes in the next line, "In an image shown revealed her secret soul." Nothing is obstructing Savitri's view of her soul or resisting the changes that will come in her being. The mind doesn't get involved. Sri Aurobindo writes, "There was no wall severing the soul and mind. The vital being has no more independent demands to take Savitri's energy and attention." He writes, "No mystic fence guarding from the claims of life." Savitri sees her inner being without any veils. It is seated in her heart chakra, in the deep lotus home of her soul, calling to the Divine Mother. Sri Aurobindo writes, "In its deep lotus home, her being sat, as if on concentration's marble seat, calling the mighty mother of the worlds to make this earthly tenement her house." The word tenement is significant here. By definition, a tenement is a building that needs improvement. So Savitri's inner being calls the Divine Mother to improve the house of her soul. Since her soul influences her whole being, the house of Savitri's soul is every part of her, including her physical body. When she calls, the Divine Mother comes. Sri Aurobindo tells us how she comes into Savitri's heart and what happens when she arrives. He writes, "As in a flash from a supernal light, a living image of the original power, a face, a form, came down into her heart and made of it its temple and pure abode. But when its feet had touched the quivering bloom, a mighty movement rocked the inner space, as if a world were shaken and found its soul." Here Sri Aurobindo describes the experience of Kundalini rising that both he and Mother had. So when he says that it was as if a world was shaken and found its soul, he must have been describing how they felt. It's a very profound experience. Then he writes, "Out of the inconscience, soulless, mindless night, a flaming serpent rose, released from sleep. It rose, billowing its coils, and stood erect. And climbing mightily, stormily on its way, it touched her centers with its flaming mouth. As if a fiery kiss had broken their sleep, they bloomed and laughed, surcharged with light and bliss. Then, at the crown, it joined the eternal space." We see that Sri Aurobindo does not say it was sleeping in any particular chakra. He says it rose out of the inconscient. Then Sri Aurobindo poetically tells us how our chakras protect us when we are not ready and they are not open yet. He writes, "In the flower of the head, in the flower of matter's base, in each divine stronghold and nature knot, it held together the mystic stream which joins the viewless summits with the unseen depths and the string of forts that make the frail defense safeguarding us against the enormous world, our lines of self-expression in its vast." Now Sri Aurobindo describes the Divine Mother, but he first tells us that she is the force of God in this form. He writes, "An image set of the original power wearing the mighty mother's form and face." Then he gives us the image seen by the ancient Indian yogis and rishis. In other places he has explained that God appears to his devotee in the form which the devotee wants to experience. Sri Aurobindo writes, "Armed, bearer of the weapon and the sign, whose occult might no magic can imitate, manifold, yet one she sat, a guardian force. A savior gesture stretched her lifted arm. A symbol of some native cosmic strength, a sacred beast lay prone below her feet, a silent flame-eyed mass of living force." These descriptions, and many others like them, can be found in the Vedic prayers to the Divine Mother. Sri Aurobindo has translated some of them in his books. Sri Aurobindo teaches that we need to depend on the Divine Mother to raise our Kundalini force and to open our chakras, because she gives us her protection. And we see that he has written that she sat as a guardian force, and a savior gesture stretched her lifted arm. So she is protecting Savitri all during the experience that she gives her. Then Sri Aurobindo goes on to describe the result of the Divine Mother's action. He writes, all underwent a high celestial change, breaking the black inconscience blind mute wall, effacing the circles of the ignorance, powers and divinities burst flaming forth, each part of the being, trembling with delight, lay overwhelmed with tides of happiness, and saw her hand in every circumstance, and felt her touch in every limb and cell. Savitri, the Book of Yoga, the Finding of the Soul. Once more she was human upon earthly soil, in the muttering night, amid the rain-swept woods, and the rude cottage where she sat in trance. That subtle world withdrew deeply within, behind the sun veil of the inner sight. But now the half-opened lotus bud of her heart had bloomed, and stood disclosed to the earthly ray. In an image shone revealed her secret soul. There was no wall severing the soul and mind, no mystic fence guarding from the claims of life. In its deep lotus home, her being sat as if on concentration's marble seat, calling the mighty mother of the worlds to make this earthly tenement her house. As in a flash from a supernal light, a living image of the original power, a face, a form, came down into her heart and made of it its temple and pure abode. But when its feet had touched the quivering bloom, a mighty movement rocked the inner space, as if a world were shaken and found its soul. Out of the inconscious, soulless, mindless night, a flaming serpent rose, released from sleep. It rose, billowing its coils, and stood erect, and climbing mightily, stormily on its way, it touched her centers with its flaming mouth. As if a fiery kiss had broken their sleep, they bloomed and laughed, surcharged with light and bliss. Then at the crown, it joined the eternal space. In the flower of the head, in the flower of matter's base, in each divine stronghold and nature knot, it held together the mystic stream which joins the viewless summits with the unseen depths, the string of forts that make the frail defense safeguarding us against the enormous world, our lines of self-expression in its vast. An image sat of the original power, wearing the mighty mother's form and face. Armed, bearer of the weapon and the sign, whose occult might no magic can imitate, manifold, yet one she sat, a guardian force. A savior gesture stretched her lifted arm, and symbol of some native cosmic strength, a sacred beast lay prone below her feet, a silent flame-eyed mass of living force. All underwent a high celestial change, breaking the black inconscience blind mute wall, effacing the circles of the ignorance, powers and divinities burst flaming forth, each part of the being, trembling with delight, lay overwhelmed with tides of happiness, and saw her hand in every circumstance, and felt her touch in every limb and cell.